staff function. Again, we are into support activities going on. Procurement, what does the staff does? Procure the raw material. Any product that is related to consumer use must be bought and raw material to be bought. Servicing, spare part, buildings, machine, etc. These are procured in the market. You must know the market area where this can be procured. Otherwise, your production will stop. Then technology development. So this includes technology development to support the value creation activities. Right? Technology development is very, very important. Right now, for example, if you fly on Airbus 380, the newest aircraft, that is the ultimate luxury on the flying, the aircraft. That technology has developed. You can take a shower if you are flying in business and first class. That is the technology development. Then human resource management, the most difficult part in any management, let me tell you from my experience of management, that is human resources, human mind, human management is the most difficult because everybody's mindset is different from one another. So that management is very, very important. Recruiting and developing, preparing, retaining right type of employees and right type of management. Those who feel the pulse of the market, those who understand the needs of the market, their priority is never mixed up when the product marketing is concerned. That type of human resource management is required. Not in the marketing team, if you have someone who believes, I come like a mill worker and it blows, the horn blows, and then I go. That type of human resource management will not make a successful marketing activity. Form infrastructure, this includes general management, planning management, legal. So in a firm infrastructure, if finances are required, from where the finances will come, if there are good type of management, seniors are required, where are they going to come in from, if the people who are going to be involved, procurement of the product, raw material, where that will be happening, that type of a planning, accounting, very important element of everything, accounting. If there is no proper accounting, that's where cost accountants come in, who account and then value the product to be marketed. So again, value chain, a firm may create cost advantage by reducing the cost of individual activities. They may obtain more sources, they may obtain more feedback, they may obtain more pricing, compare the price, and try to and compare the cost so that they can bring a competitive prices. Reconfiguration, so you reconfigure the value chain as the market needs go, and smart use of technology. Nowadays we are totally dependent on technology. If I'm addressing to students who are born after 1990s, they are referred in America as millennials. And millennials are used to information technology. They make big use of information technology. Now, yes, most of us use IT, but the millennials are the most users of information technology. A product related to yours must use mostly IT. Business process is basically a value creation and value delivery process. Buyers patronize the firm that offers the highest value. So people will buy a product that offers you good value for the money they have paid. And then highest value given to the end user or the buyer, they patronize that product. It is thus important to locate activities in which value can be created and create maximum value in each of them. So it is very important we stress time, we spend time, the marketing team spends time in creating a maximum value for it. You may be hearing this term time and again, value for money, value for money. if I want to buy a bottle of water, it should be not just 50 rupees. Why? Because you think you are buying at the airport, it may cost you 50 rupees. The same water bottle, if you go to a store, 18, 20 rupees. You go to America, Europe, each water bottle, which of course could be a different type of water, but we, the Indians, are mostly water users. We feel we pay something like in UK for a half a liter or 1 liter bottle. You pay almost a pound and you pay through your nose. That's not value for money. So that is what a customer looks in. Am I getting value for money? You stay in a hotel, you pay $350. You think it's not value for money. Where you go to another part of the world, say Far East, same bottle product you get for $100. You say that's value for money. So global value chain configuration increased the competitive leverage by helping companies access global resource and capabilities. So when you have a global value chain, you help companies on a global scenario. They always say when you are into global market, think internationally but act locally. So a global company configures its value chain in activities across different countries to maximize efficiency and effectiveness. So global companies, by taking an integrated view of their worldwide activities, are equipped to cut costs and create more value. So if they are working in India, they would be looking into the cost in India, the market value. They cannot be able to sell that product at the same price what is being sold in Europe. So local, again I repeat, think international but act local, because you are addressing to the local end user in that particular market. So while managing their value chain, global companies must combine both comparative and strategic advantages to put in a place globally leverage strategy. For example, if you go to certain market, certain marketing activities are just no-no. For example, showing a product in a bikini in India on a wide hoarding may not be taken in a good taste, total bikini. But you go down any part of the world, in Western in Europe or in Americas or Australia, it's okay, everybody accept that product. So that has to be combined with comparative and strategic advantage to put place globally. So comparative advantage help in cutting costs in short run. For example, you are picking up a product right from the farmer, that will cut your cost instead of having a middleman then buying and then adding up, the middleman adding up, and ultimately the product goes expensive. So that is one area of cutting costs. Strategic advantage help in adding value in long run. According to value profit chain concept, organization need to focus on providing what their employees, customers, investors, suppliers and other value most. So when you think of this, you talk of concepts, organization need to focus on providing what their employees, customers, suppliers and others value most. Example, an employee would say, yes, this product looks to me inexpensive. That could be a very good positive feedback. Your customer comes and says, no, this product should have been modified this. I don't like this because you added this to it. It should have been some better product. That's a positive feedback. And the value of profit chain will also model, acknowledges the importance of the three key constituents as mentioned below: customers, employees and investor. Investor come very important because this is where the product will be financed. So investors are also important. they are the key constituents in profit model. So now we are looking again now on value profit chain framework, stress the importance of the interrelationship of these three groups. They are retention. We have got lot on this, we have spoken on this. Retention is very important, otherwise just having a customer for one time is no good. Buying the loyalty of the customer and retaining it and repeating it, they buy from you, that is retention. Then the related sales. When the retention happens, the related sales happen through that channel. And then referrals. I hope you know what's a referral. Referral refers to somebody which is normally called word of mouth. Somebody went happy, somebody have bought a product, he's happy with that product, and he refers the same product. He says, I bought this product, this is a wonderful product. I went to so-and-so tourist destination, it's a wonderful tourist destination. The word of mouth, I bought from a particular travel agency. That's the referrals come in with the very least marketing expenses. Not much of money is invested, but because you send one customer happy in your marketing activities, comes as a referral to you. So lifetime value is a value added component to marketing return when marketing strategy is executed through relationship mode instead of conventional product marketing mode. So conventional marketing mode, I said to you in the beginning, just put up a sign, 10 rupees kilo, 5 rupees kilo, we sell so and so, fresh milk is available, we also sell XYZ product. That's all. That's a typical conventional marketing mode. It can be illustrated through the general recognition and acceptance won by those who embrace this direct marketing concept, where you are addressing directly to the end user. That's a direct marketing concept. It is important that organization use appropriate measure to assess their customers' value. So organizations use right type of measures to understand what is the customer's value. So look at this, customer's lifetime value, acquire, engage, retain and extend. This goes here. So start with acquiring the customer's lifetime value. We have spoken on lifetime value. So acquire them, get them engaged, see that they are delivered. Then they, you have whomsoever you have delivered, whomsoever your services are offered, by retaining that lifetime value, you retain them and then in turn extend through them. We come to another very important co-branding. What is this? What is a co-branding? Co-branding word with a philosophy of generating the additional market. So you are selling a product and then you co-brand to something else. So that will generate business for both, awareness for both, alliance for both. So this will be one or two brands which are marketed together. Both have their own brands, both have their own entity, both have their own market share. But because they came as a co-brand, that create bigger market, additional market. Classic example which we can give here is State Bank of India and Air India Credit Card. State Bank of India is a brand name in itself, and Air India are national carrier. Both have come together with a credit card. I can give another example of Mumbai Metro with ICICI card. These are co-branding one airline and one bank, one metro service provider, rail provider, and a credit card company. Both would benefit people who would want a credit card. Banking facilities go to that bank, those who want to fly, they have the airline. Come on, next co-branding is Pizza Hut with Holiday Inns. That's where many Pizza Huts are, very close to Holiday Inns. So that's a co-branding, both benefit out of each other. So there are five reasons for an alliance. Now coming back to different type of alliance. So why do people come close to each other? Because that will bring financial benefit. If you brand together with two different brand which have a stand-alone good market value, lifetime value, good customer database, both benefit out of it. So jointly they can market, they can create a marketing brand for both of them together and stand alone. So there's a financial benefit to both of them. It's a win-win situation for both of them. Then customer get a greater value for it. Customer says, if I buy this with this, I get to get both of this done at one point to improve properties overall image. So everybody overall image lifts up. Strengthen an operation, competitive position, the strengthening of an operation and competitive position, both coming together can compete better in the market than both doing it alone on that joint co-branding product to create an operational advantage. Again, both don't have to have their own offices in remote areas where some may be strong, some may be lesser strong. So both co-branding will help to product and to project their product into those weaker section of the market. Like, look at the example of Nike and Apple brought music and exercise together. So when they have developed a sport kit and wireless system that allows shoe to talk to an iPod. Something innovation and also co-branding. By this strategy, Apple was able to target Nike consumers and vice versa. So both the participants benefit out of this tie-up. There's a win-win situation for both. Both Nike and Apple are the brand in it themselves. So, but both benefits out of this. Co-branding lies between the two extreme points of marketing alliance. It's a medium to long-term duration and its shared value potential. It is not as low as of a temporary nature, nor it is high to justify the accumulation into joint venture. So these relations just don't come as a temporary need. They come for a long time. And then on the basis of strength of the relationship and the shared value creation, there exists different form of co-branding with subtle differences between the different layers of hierarchy. So when they come together, the relationship, the value creation that exists as co-branding for two different hierarchy. Co-branding requires increase in short value creation, which has to be more than the individual values created by two brands. But also there is a word of caution in terms of synergy and synergies of two brands. Now, there is also, it increases the value definitely, but there is a word of caution, and that, what is that? If two brands such as that brand values are difficult to be shared, the success of co-branding becomes a remote possibility in such cases. This is what is called wrong marriage. If you get married to wrong people, if you married your spouse which is not compatible with your sort of standards, then that marriage doesn't go successful. Likewise, if two brands which have made an alliance together does not match together, then it will not be a long run success. It will be purely a short-term synergy. So choosing the right partner. So what you do in co-branding announcement, you have to go through picking up the right partner. Both the product should pick each other. Both should be with people who are interlinked into their product. You cannot have something which is nothing linked to each other. Then identifying the positioning strategy, how that product can be put into the market, how that positioning would happen, what and who would be active and who would be marketing. So then contacting the intermediaries to assist in the formation of partnership, defining what is needed. So you have to contact the intermediaries, the outsourcers, the outsource companies, how to assist you in partnership, what is needed. Meeting with the principals. So you must meet the right principal with the both parties who are holders of it, those principals to be met, and performing the analysis to determine the feasibility of partnership. So you must study in great detail whether this co-branding will go long run or not, or it will die down in a very short span of time, and negotiating the contract from time to time. For example, a hotelier in India agrees with another hotelier in XYZ country, and suddenly the competition comes with much lower pricing. If you have contracted for a long time, then definitely the product which you are marketing would not remain competitive, and you will not attract customer for that. So you have to continuously look into the negotiation element in your contract. What is the advantage of co-branding? From the perspective of both clients and partner, the ability to access a broader customer base. I said to you, both have their own database. So both the co-brander will give benefit to each other. And relationship with client is of significant advantage. A banker would have its own database. Airline would have its own database. If you want to fly that airline, go to this bank. This bank wants to send their clients, go to this airline. And budget expenditure can be concentrated in other areas. So in some area, the co-branding partner would have advantage in some markets. They would be more present in those markets. So their budgets can be saved. Their expenses can be saved in that market. And the other, which is more active in some other market, that budget can be invested through that channel. And co-branding enhances the credibility of one's brand by borrowing credibility of other. Everyone says that you go with a brand name, then both have its own credibility, both would benefit each other. What are the challenges in co-branding? It is difficult and complicated. Again, when you go into co-branding, at stage when it comes, it becomes difficult and complicated because of various development which may take place. So as a result, it becomes at times difficult and at times very difficult to continue with that. The idea of introducing a new variable can be complicated on a day-to-day basis. If you want to change and think of a new variable element into it on a day-to-day basis, it may become difficult. You may find some new CEO, some new MD coming on board, which may not like the whole idea of what the previous agreement would have happened. So the co-branding suddenly get difficult, and the variable which happened can lead to breakup of the agreement. Maintaining the monetary commitment. Sometimes somebody commits, but they expect in turn and in long run, or at a short run, they notice you committed us that you would get us 50,000 new customers. You have not given us XYZ number. You have just given us 20,000. You have taken benefit out of our 50,000. So there is monetary. We invested so much money, whereas your investment is less. All that. Then somebody fears that if you brand, reputation would get affected and you will lose the brand recognition of that product, and quality level would also drop at times. So those are the challenges. The concern of partnering with wrong brand is also there. As I explained to you, a wrong brand, or I would say a marriage between two non-compatible people, would result into a breakup. Likewise, co-branding with non-compatible people or some difficulty arising would split into breakup. So unsuccessful partnership could result due to miscommunication between the two parties. Somebody wanted XYZ to be done and it was not delivered in that format to the co-brander. So this will result into unsuccessful. Now we come to another thing called cross promotion. We all know what's a cross promotion. I gave a hint of that to you in the beginning. For example, if you go to a booking engine, they would come up on a airline booking engine. Do you want to book holidays? Do you want to book car rental? Do you want to buy a city tour? These are cross promotion that airline is doing. You go to a restaurant or a fast food joint and they would keep asking, can I get you something added to this? We have got an offer going on garlic bread. Do you want to order garlic bread? They are just for 50 rupees extra, and so on. So that's a cross promotion. Walk your talk. When two or more groups, such as business, government agencies, a non-profit agency with a shared value and market, act together to reach to their shared market more memorably, so walk your talk. What you say, do it. Cross promotion has the potential for a big marketing payoff because partners can successfully expand through each other's customer base. Cross promotion strategies are: target a specific market. If you are selling bank and airline, you cannot go to people who don't have a bank account. Of course, you can convince them to bank account opening. But are they people who would love to open a bank account? Whether they have so much of earning, and at time whether they would fly also. So target a specific market. Find out whom you want to address this to. Find the common ground and find a partner want to reach to a common market. Both the market, if not identical, should be common. Choose a low-risk, quick-action partner. Risk always exists in a business environment, but select a risk where risk is low. Without taking a risk, you can't do a business, obviously, but risk factor should be low and a calculated risk factor. Propose a partnership preferably to a known party and who has a strong mutual interest. So, as it explained, you cannot have a partnership with person who is not known to you, to a company which is not known to you, the product which is not known in a specific market, and they have got strong mutual interest. Demonstrates a goodwill and a commitment to partnering by making first cross promotional action even more beneficial to your partner than you in order to build a trust. We come and conclude to this chapter. Thank you for listening to me. See you in the next slides. Thank you.